yes, 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 yes.
Feel incredible!
Kongoku demo!
It's not a cartoon! It's anime!
Yes! Welcome to another episode of Animation! It's been a long time. We shouldn't have left you without a few podcasts to listen to, man. I apologize,
there we
y'all.
Go.
Yeah, I got it. I struggled to get that out. But you know what it is. Half the squad is here. The dynamic duo is here. That's what matters, man.
Hey,
Rob is back here.
All right.
Back home from vacation and honeymooning, man.
Yes, sir.
And your boy is back. I was here. I was here. And, you know, we were supposed to review, what was it?
Full Metal Alchemist.
Full Metal Alchemist, the live action. Let me tell you something. I actually watched it.
Mm-hmm.
I sat through and watched it because I was ready to review this motherfucker. And it was bad.
He was going to do it for you.
For you. I did it. And I had another person supposed to do it with me. Brennan. Bitch ass, hoe ass Brennan.
Who's that?
Hello, guys.
Oh.
Wow. What are the chances that you always got something to say? Why you always got something to say? Why did you even pick that shitty ass thing?
Because you left me hanging.
No, I'm not talking about that. Why did you pick that sorry ass piece of show?
I
told you it was going to be trash.
I didn't know it was going to be.
Trash. Yes, you did. What live action has ever been good?
I mean, you got to take
Let me tell you something.
What live action has ever been good?
Here's the thing.
I'm a proponent. Speed Racer's pretty good.
Before, Wait a second. Before Rob just read, earlier the Rotten Tomatoes or whatever score.
I did read the Rotten Tomatoes.
Before his score that he read, the scores that I read, it had over a 90%.
Really?
Yes.
What show have you ever seen that was live action? You're like, man, this is as good or better than the anime ever.
I didn't say better.
As good or better than the anime ever. Name one.
Speed Racer.
Huh?
Speed Racer was pretty
good. Blaze of the Immortal wasn't bad.
Okay.
The
that's pretty
action?
Good.
Mm-hmm. Well, the anime was terrible.
Well, then there you go. It was better than that.
You asked.
So point being, what have you ever enjoyed? Like, man, I'm gonna watch this live action and this is shit. And is this, what is this show called again?
What? This one?
Animation.
Well, it's based
not
on an anime.
I mean,
it's based on an anime.
Not anime, though.
But I mean, it's based on one of the anime that we hype up the most.
Argument, like, what's anime? What's not anime? Live action is definitely not anime.
Oh, okay. Vox Machina is not anime, then. We're reviewing it.
There you go.
I guess technically it's.
It is. What does anime mean? Do we have to go back to this?
Brent has, like, another microphone he can hop on.
I know. He's just
up my ass right now.
Right here.
It is up. Brennan was riding my, and he's still in so close.
He's not taking a seat.
Hey, get off
you
my ass!
Hear you.
You get off my ass, Brennan.
I'm working to keep these goddamn lights on, Keenan. Is that a problem?
Hey, I appreciate it, man.
Yeah,
some nice.
Fuck
lights.
You, Keenan. It's good to see you, Rob.
Right. Hey, man, he left Thank me hanging. Though I tell you that shit. He was like, "Yo, Brennan." Brennan texted me. He watched like 5 minutes of his movie. Right? He goes, "I can't fucking do it, dog. I'm not doing it.
Not doing it."
And I was just like, Brennan. I said, "Bro, I'm going to be by myself, man." He's like, "I can't." Fucking do it.
And he was just like, die.
The actual thought that I had was, I don't care.
Wow. Wow.
And I just also like to point out, I just like to point out that Rob will be posting something into the Patreon that I'm going to ask him to post so that you all can understand why I have fuck Rob Fonda energy on a consistent basis.
I mean, I told some of the people in the Patreon.
You already showed me too, right?
I showed you some stuff.
Oh, showed me.
No, so.
Oh, I love it.
I got to get back to work, but I'm just let you guys know. It's worth being in the Patreon because fuck Rob. Rob is petty as shit. He's creative with his pettiness, and he waits for the perfect moment to be an asshole.
It was the perfect moment for what he showed.
Was he not being an asshole?
Oh, dog, that was the pettiest, greatest moment. I was just like, and then I won't say what.
So, but you agree with me? If you're Brennan, isn't it fuck Rob Fonda energy right now?
If I'm you,
yes. Okay, that's all I need.
Yes.
Anything to defend yourself, Rob?
We made a bet. And I cashed in.
That's what it sounds
like. That I won.
Too,
I don't understand.
Wow.
But
you don't understand. Don't even play that I'm dumb.
I don't get it. I don't understand.
But here's the thing.
Rob's the smartest goddamn person in this building. He's like,
but
I don't think so.
But here's the thing. If this was flipped around and Brennan won this bet,
Brennan
would be sitting there being diabolical, make sure he's so strategic about
I hope that I would do what he did. I would hope that I do what he did, but I don't know what he could have done better, to be honest. Like,
oh my God.
You got my ass, bro.
I did.
You got my ass back. Now, I'm going to give it build up because we're not going to tell you what it is unless you're in the Patreon. You get to find out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll say this, is that I walked into this shit in a way that I did not prepare to. Oh, and it involved Rob's parents.
Mm-hmm.
Rob did this through his parents to me. through his parents.
Rob sends his regards.
That's literally what was said to me. Rob sends his regards, and I was handed a bag, and the rest of my day was fucked.
He showed me, bro. I loved it.
Yeah. Oh, so, fuck right. you, Rob.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thanks.
There will be retribution.
All right.
You we'll do understand that. You know how petty I am.
We'll see.
You guys have a good show.
We'll see. Thank
hey,
you.
Hey, just are you gonna be here Monday?
We'll find out.
All right.
We're doing the last episodes of Vox Machina, and then after that, we're doing Turtles, most likely.
I want to do the Turtle ones. I'll say it's an 80% chance I'll be there on
80%
Monday.
80% chance.
Gotcha. All right. So, oh yeah, we might have a special guest. We might have, I guess we can talk about it just real quick. We might have Roxy. Also, we're at 97 patrons.
Almost.
97. We're at 98.
I was going to get a haircut this weekend, and I said, you know what? I'm going to hold out.
Here's the thing. We only lost one. So we had 98, remember?
Yep.
We normally lose like 8 or 9, and then it goes back up later on.
Patreon is going strong.
So they stayed. They hung around. We just need 3 more people.
Guys, I just can't express to you how much I want to see Rob get a haircut. You know who the barber's going to be? Have you picked the barber?
I haven't picked the barber.
You should
pick
the barber.
I know.
You're from here. You should know.
I know a few people.
Okay. I don't know anybody, obviously, if you look at the way I do my hair. I know literally no barbers.
Same here.
Yeah.
But who can we get to? Who can we get to? You already. Let's see. If I add Patreon, she has Patreon.
No. Our team of people listening to this, all we need is literally one of you.
No, we need three. We need
I know,
people.
But it's just saying, but you tell them it's only one.
Okay.
Don't taste the victory.
It's just you. You guys do this.
We can do this organically.
That's what I'm saying. Don't fucking.
I believe in our fans.
I believe in our fans too, man. Y'all all right, are dope.
I believe in our fans too.
We're hating on them, Keenan.
Fans out there, I'm telling you, we are 3 patrons away. We're only 3. We had 97.
And also, fuck Rob. All
right.
We had 3 patrons away to get this haircut for Rob, and we need y'all to do it. Please, patreon.com/animation, S-H-U-N, all right? patreon.com/animation, S-H-U-N. Join today, so when we hit 100, let me tell you something, man. It's going to be a fucking experience.
Man.
We're going to get Rob a nice, his beard, here's the, his beard's growing back, so we get that. We're going to get that beard connection too. Oh, oh yeah,
we'll get it going. We'll get it going.
All right, y'all. So yeah, join that Patreon, patreon.com/animation.
I don't know who that man was. He seemed very nice though.
Shout out to
seemed like a nice guy.
Shout out to bitch ass ho ass Ice. He's not here again. He's missing. What is this? 49 that he's missed. At
yeah,
this
I'm
point?
Not sure who that is.
Special guest Ice. Special guest Brennan. neither one of them are here.
Nope.
But yeah, we got some good stuff lined up for y'all. But yeah, but first we got some weekly polls that we did.
Yeah, we got a couple, especially since we missed a week. We got 2 polls to go over for you. Again, if you're in the Patreon, you can vote on these. The first poll that we had was if you could choose one anime fighting style, which one would it be out of these specific choices? And this was our first tie. This was our first poll tie out of the top 2 choices. Tie between hand-to-hand combat martial arts and a tie between that and magic/alchemy, which is, I mean, pretty solid. I mean, I get it. I get
it.
Third place was psychic powers, and then 4th place, weapon mastery, which, you know, listen, everybody had a pretty good showing because it was 34% up at the top, then 18% for psychic powers, 14% for weapon mastery.
Those are close also.
That's pretty close. Pretty even split. Now, this is what a lot of people were saying. This was one of the toughest polls that they've seen yet.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I don't know if I had to choose an anime. Why would I want to choose hand to hand?
I guess because I think, especially for the picture representation, I chose Dragon Ball.
Mm.
So they were thinking like, oh, if I get like Dragon Ball powers, I can get like beam stuff or whatever. I can have that sort of attack. That's what I'd want.
So that's hand-to-hand still.
That's hand-to-hand combat. Okay. That's martial arts.
If that's hand-to-hand also, then that's different.
I'll give it to him.
Okay.
You know?
I would have leaned towards that also because magic and alchemy, what would you classify that as? I know alchemy, but what would you classify magic as?
Magic.
I thought beams would be in there, but I guess not.
No, because magic is more like, I haven't seen Black Clover, but I know they do a lot of magic in that.
Yeah.
Or even like, they have like magic on, in this that we're watching.
Yeah.
And then also like, what's it? Ranking of Kings. Like they have Desha had, you know, the lightning bolts. You had Queen Hyling with her healing powers.
Yeah.
You had some people with some magic in there.
Somebody say my mic is off. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're coming through.
Can you guys hear me now? Sure, spectacular. Can you hear me?
Let me see. Testing, testing.
Testing, testing. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
We'll let it. Well, in the meantime, psychic powers is pretty straightforward.
Okay. So what would you have chosen out of this?
I would have chosen psychic powers. That's just always like my go-to. Like if I had to choose a superpower, it'd be telekinesis. Okay. I just think that's a super dope power. especially because like I can't tell you how many times like I'm sitting somewhere. It's 100% born out of laziness because I like I'm sitting on the couch and I'm like I'm comfortable. I got something way over there.
You don't give a fuck about fighting at all. You just like looking at it. No, how can I make this convenient?
If I could like pull that remote over to me right now, that would be super cool. Or just like, didn't you ever like, you know, go into like a somewhere with an automatic door, like pretend you have like force powers, like, and then like open the auto door like that?
From that standpoint, that makes more sense because I honestly wouldn't want to be out here fighting.
Yeah.
I don't want to be out fighting at my big age right now. Mm-hmm. And then even so, mm-hmm. if I had the psychic powers, I could still fuck you up.
Yeah.
Without you even knowing I fucked you up.
Yeah. Psychic powers are pretty dope, especially like again, this is kind of going outside of anime, going into like again the more superhero realm, like
yeah,
like Xavier, yeah. like Professor X, like that's checkmate almost every time.
Ah,
and Mob, like when you think about like when I think about anime psychic powers, I think about Mob, and like
yeah.
with him, it's like Mob, One Punch Man, like those two guys are like at the pinnacle of their power set. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hmm. Damn, you might have swayed me, bro.
I'm just saying it's super dope. Like I think it's super cool. I love psychic powers. I think they're flashy. They're fun, and you just got them. You just gotta like concentrate real hard.
But I feel like magic can probably still maybe even do very similar things to psychic powers in a sense, right? For the most part,
in some ways, yeah, for sure. I feel like magic would come with like a lot of reading.
Oh. You know what
I mean? That's a lot of reading to come up with magic.
Wait a second, I gotta figure out this.
Yeah, exactly.
Nah, you know what? Fuck that. Psychic powers it is, man.
You see how much reading they did in Full Metal Alchemist? They were always in the books and like drawing diagrams. I'm like, that's a lot.
He had to study, he had to pass tests. I don't got time for tests, bro. I'm 36 years yeah. old. I did all the tests I need to fucking do.
Exactly.
Man. I'm not doing this.
I'm not
anymore.
Going back to school. Weapon mastery would be cool, but I just feel like you're gonna chop something off.
Yeah.
You're gonna lose something.
All right, so what would be the other poll we had?
The other poll we had is one of these, and I've seen these before. We had four characters. You choose one to be your bodyguard. The other three are coming after you.
Okay.
And that bodyguard has to protect you against the other three. And the choices were, ooh. First place, this is what people chose as their bodyguard. The other three would be coming after them. First place choice was Killua, 45% of the vote. Then Hiei from Yu Yu Hakusho was second place. Akame from Akame Got Kill was third with 12%, and then Levi from Attack on Titan was 8%, which I kind of get.
I get that, yeah.
Because like Levi, and somebody made a great point like in the comment section, just like he's had a lot of people die under his watch. There's a lot of people that died under Levi's watch.
Oh, that's so disrespectful, bro.
He's killed some of them.
Oh shit!
They turn into a Titan, and it's a wrap. You know, like
fuck.
He's efficient. He's not a great protector. He's a great killer, not a great protector. Which, I, you know, the fact that he got last place, and especially because out of everybody here, he probably has the weakest power set. He's the most, maybe one of the more skilled characters.
Yeah.
Because I think he punches above his weight class, but he's just a normal dude with, like...
sword skills. Because I wonder, does he have hand-to-hand combat? What happens when he loses his swords?
I bet he's still good. I bet he's still pretty handy in a fist fight. Because, like, what was the dude, Kenny, brought him up? Like, he grew up on the streets.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's true.
Like, I bet Levi's, like, he can knife fight, I bet. I bet he's pretty good even in a scrap.
Yeah. All right, yeah, that's fair. Akame ain't bad, though.
I am surprised. That was my shocker. I probably would have chosen Akame personally.
Yeah.
I was surprised she got third place because especially she has her Imperial Arms weapon where it's just, like, one cut, you're done. Like, I know Killua for that. Like, if we're talking about, okay, these people are also coming after you. Killua is an assassin. He had, like, poison resistance but not immunity, right?
I think he might have been immunity, but still, I think Killer was also still a kid.
Yeah.
So, like, he might get caught slacking playing a fucking video game.
Yeah.
You give him the new Switch, or what is it? What does Amir have?
Was it the Steam Deck?
The Steam Deck?
Yeah.
You give him the Steam Deck with all new games on, he might be like, hell, yeah. Killer, wait a second. Hold on. I'll be there in a second. I don't need time. I don't got time for that shit. You kidding me?
Yeah. No, he's definitely somebody, too. Like, he'll take a job, but, like, I don't think his heart's in the job unless he's, like, he likes you as a person.
Exactly.
Which, who knows?
And I think if you were his age, so now you guys are friends, it'll be different.
Because he's protecting Gon with his life, for sure.
Exactly.
Just anybody else, though, I don't know.
Nah, he didn't give a fuck about Lieri or whatever his fucking name was.
Yeah.
I might have to go with Hiei, man.
Hiei is pretty dope.
I started watching some seasons. I still haven't finished season 2 yet. Mm-hmm. Forgive me. But even watching some of the season 2 of Yu Yu Hakusho, he's no fucking games.
No.
Like, and he's like... he's a murderer. Not a murderer, but he's a killer. Like, he's like, yo, I will fucking kill you to get the job done. I'm not afraid of that shit.
Yeah, both him and Akame are the most like, if we get a job, we'll do the job to the best of our ability because I'm a professional.
For sure. I think whatever his prices, he's going to do the job, like you said, to the best of his ability. It's not going to be one of those, like, he's not going to get distracted. He has that fucking third eye thing that can just destroy shit. Yeah, I think I would go. Who would you go with?
I'd probably go with Akame personally, but Hiei would. He might be my second choice. I don't know that he'd be great to spend a lot of time around just as a person.
He's a
demon and not really fond of humanity. At least Akame, like, Akame's got a lot of like pain in her past, but she's like a human being that's like, you know, she warms up to people.
I feel like I feel like I'll be funny enough for Hiei. I feel like Hiei would be like, oh, this job. And he'd be like, he's kind of funny, man.
He's pretty good.
He's pretty funny, man. All right, cool. All right. I feel confident that I can get him or Akame to warm up to me and be like, I like this guy, man. He's kind of cool, man. He's kind of fun to be around.
Okay. No, I see it. Yeah, no, I that was... To me, that was one where it's like, wrong choice is hard here, and then unless you chose Levi, which, you know, I get it. I mean, some people did. I made it a choice, so, I mean, you know, that's what it is.
All right, man, thank you for that, Rob. But
for sure.
Now, like I said, we are back as a crew, as a squad, and, you know, we watched Vox Machina. These are episodes 5-8. Rob, recap. Let's go.
Get into the recap. So, looking to escape Tal'Dorei, Vax, Vex, and Caelith go to visit Gilmore's shop to stock up on some magic items that will help them against the Briarwood vampires. They get some magic arrows, some holy water, wooden stake, all you need. During the shopping trip, we also see that Vax flirts with Gilmore for some discounts. And though he does flirt with Gilmore, he and Caelith have a bit of a budding romance as well. later, they join up with Grog, Percy, Scanlan, who have stolen a cart, and the group heads for Whitestone. On the road, Vex and Percy strike up a flirtation of their own, while Scanlan struggles to translate the Lady Briarwood's journal. But with some help from Caelith, they discover that they are trying to build a structure that will allow them to contact a god called the Whispered One. As they get deeper into the woods, they are attacked by a group of monstrous, deformed wolves set by the Briarwoods to recover their journal. But before they can escape them, one of the wolves grabs Scanlan and the journal, and with a long-gross tongue, and they are forced to chase after to save their friend. Grog, Caelith, and Vax are able to fight off a couple that jump onto the cart. Vex uses one of the magical arrows to explode another of the wolves another wolf carrying Scanlan runs towards a cliff, and he's only able to jump to safety after letting go of the journal and letting the wolf get it back. Unfortunately for the group, they charge a little too close to the cliff, and the cart and most of the magic items that they bought went tumbling over, but they were lucky enough to escape with their lives. Below, they look on as the mangled wolf walks off with the journal back to its master. The wolf returns to Whitestone and gives the journal back to Lady Briarwood as she meets with her council about building materials for their structure. Among the council members are her husband, Lord Briarwood, Professor Anders, who is running a refinery, Duke Vedmeyer, who seems to be running the local guard, and before long, another gross little man named Captain Stonefell enters with a group of special dinner guests. The Briarwoods tell the guests they've won a special prize and have special clothing for them to change into. Elsewhere, Pike has found her holy temple and asked the priestess for help to get rid of a curse that is blocking her from communicating with her god and stopping her from using her powers. Meanwhile, Vox Machina makes camp for the evening in the woods, while Scanlan tries out the spell scroll he stole from the dragon, but struggles to make it work right. Caelith tells Vax about her homelands and, you know, her worries about returning as a leader, but he encourages her and says, hey, you know, you'll figure it out. That night, the group swaps stories about monsters they've killed and bedded, and later when they're alone, Vex warns her brother about getting too close to Caelith, and he promises that nothing will come between the two siblings. The next day, they reach Whitestone, and the once lush, vibrant city has been turned into a creepy ghost town, but Percy has a holy woman named Keeper Yennen that could help them figure out what to do next. As they look for her in the streets, they find, you know, basically they're being patrolled by undead giants, and scared villagers are running for cover. Eventually, they come to the husk of a giant sun tree in the middle of the city, but instead of leaves on the branches, they find the bodies of those special dinner guests hung by their necks, dressed to look like them, as a warning and a threat from the Briarwoods. Somewhere in Whitestone, a dwarf named Archie leads a meeting for an underground resistance. They plan their next attack, but the undead giants rip the roof off and start eating and crushing the rebels. As Archie tries to protect his friends, he's knocked down and captured by Stonefell. Back at the Sun Tree, a local called Vox Machina out of the road. When she recognizes Percy, she agrees to take them to see Yennen, who is preaching for peace in the streets. She tells Percy that the surviving member of the old ruling family, he might be just the inspiration the resistance needs to overthrow the Briarwoods. She takes them to the resistance hideout and says, you know, hey, you can start helping by freeing Archie from his captors. It turns out that Percy and Archie grew up together, and as they were friends as kids. So he and the others happily agree to help with the insurrection. Back with Pike, she continues to reach out to her god, but only seems to be dragged further into the darkness and is left without answers as to why she's being cut off. In prison, somewhere in Whitestone, Stonefell and Vedmeyer torture Archie looking for information on Vox Machina, but he has no idea who they are. Luckily for him, though, downstairs they are working on breaking him out. Vex, Caelith, and Grog take the front door while Percy, Scanlan, and Vax work on breaking down the back. The front door team has much more success breaking in and even managing to spring a few prisoners to help them in the fight along the way. The back door team does finally get in when a guard tosses a bucket of piss out the door, but the group is able to meet up inside and bust Archie out of his cell. Unfortunately, though, Stonefell is waiting for them, and when they find him, a huge fight breaks out between the guards and the rebels, and a ton of bloodshed happens on both sides. They work on getting Archie out, but when Percy sees a chance for revenge against Stonefell, he breaks off from the group. He eventually corners him into a dark hallway, and after some shit talk from both, Percy reveals his identity, and with darkness in his eyes and smoke circling around him, he unloads the clip into Stonefell, executing him and striking the first name off of his revenge list. Hearing the commotion, Vax and Archie come around the corner, but consumed by his rage, Percy nearly shoots them too. Vax tells him, "You need to chill the fuck out," but Percy recounts, "Hey, Stonefell murdered my family," and Archie drops a huge reveal that Percy is not the last of his family. The Briar would still have his sister Cassandra imprisoned. To make their escape, Vex has Grog toss a barrel of booze and shoots it with a flaming arrow to cause a huge explosion, and the Resistance runs off into the night after stealing their first victory. And in the distance, Cassandra looks on at the flames with Lady Briarwood and Professor Anders surrounding her, telling her that her brother's arrival changes nothing. In a flashback, we see Percy and Cassandra getting the lesson from their former professor. He tells them about the White Stone, which is what their city is named after and mined there, and how it can be refined to enhance magical abilities. It's clear he loves the subject but hates the students, and when their parents arrive, he tries to pitch them on his get-rich-quick scheme about refining the White Stones en masse, and Percy's father shoots him down, tells him, you know, just focus on doing the job we hired you to do. And Anders not so cryptically tells the kids that one day his family will get theirs. Back at the Resistance HQ, the team confronts Percy about what's all this dark magic surrounding you, what and your gun, like, what's all this about? He tells them how after the Briarwoods showed up, he ran for his life. He became obsessed with the idea of revenge, and eventually the idea of the six-shooter came to him in a dream, and he forged it himself, though it's kind of left unclear whether the idea it was his or planted there by some unseen dark force. On five of the gun's barrels are the names of the people he's sworn revenge against, but before they get an answer on who was on the sixth barrel, they have to stop a fire that Caelith has accidentally started by trying to heal the Sun Tree with her magic. As Vax and Vex clash over scolding her, Archie says that they have bigger problems. What will be their next move? Percy says that they have to free his sister, who Archie says is being held by Anders. And as they try to make a plan to break her free, Scanlan suggests, hey, why don't I go create a distraction, draw off the guards by lighting Vedmir's house on fire? And after some convincing, the group does agree. On his own, Scanlan breaks into Vedmir's, but lands in his bathroom just as Vedmir is finishing taking a shit. Scanlan runs from him and a group of guards and starts desperately chugging potions without even knowing what they do. The first to allow him to teleport and shrink, which helps him to escape for a while, but the last one, best of all, was allowing him to breathe fire, and he starts burning down the house just as Vedmir gets his hands on him. Scanlan manages to escape the fires into a private room where he sees the Briarwoods are looking to expand their influence into other cities as well. Before long, Vedmir tries knocking the door down, and Scanlan uses that magic scroll again. This time he tries singing the incantation and transforms him into a giant triceratops, allowing him to charge through the doors and soldiers, spreading the fire along the way. Outside Anders Place, the group is shocked to see Scanlan's plan is working, and as the guards are running off, they run in. However, a group of archers is waiting for them, but that's no problem for Grog, who eats the damage and just starts taking out guards left and right. Back with Scanlan, he manages to escape to the roof, but is trapped between the fire and a high drop. Eventually, Vedmir catches up to him and starts wailing on the gnome bard. And though things look bad, Scanlan uses a well-placed lightning bolt cast from his dick to electrocute his tormentor. Scanlan hops on his floating purple hand and rides it off into the night as Vedmir's house explodes with him stuck on the roof. At Anders, Percy has broken through the fighting to find his old professor with a knife at his sister's throat. He threatens to kill Anders if he hurts her, and completely unthreatened, Anders just slits Cassandra's throat and leaves her bleeding out on the floor. At the Holy Temple, Pike still struggles to contact her god. The priestess tells her, hey, you need to chill, you need to rest. Pike says, hey, if you won't help me, I'll do this on my own. Back in the fight, Percy looks on in horror as Cassandra bleeds out. Vax and Caelith come in and promise to try and heal her while he chases after Anders. Percy corners the old professor, but he has a trick up his sleeve. The Briarwoods gave him a magic silver tongue that allows him to control objects and things with his voice, and he uses it to sic several magic sets of armor on Percy. Vax joins to help Percy and calls in Vex and Grog after they finish the guards. In the next room, Caelith manages to get her healing spell to work, saving Cassandra and allowing her to join the fight against the army of Alphonse Elric's. Anders then talks shit about how he loves seeing Percy's family in pain, and the group fights. Eventually, they find the armor's weakness and cut them to shreds. But with the armor gone, Anders uses his silver tongue on Vox Machina next, using it to mind control them and turn Grog against his friends. At the temple, Pike meditates alone and finally reaches her god, but when she tells the Everlight about why her connection was broken, the god tells her she's lying and tries to cleanse those lies with flames. In Whitestone, the group tries to fight Grog without hurting him, but Anders gets tired of waiting, mind controls them all into fighting against Percy. They trap him up against a wall, but Percy merely just works out the angles, fires a bullet, takes off Anders' jaw, and knocks his tongue out of his mouth, which tries to crawl away. With the spell broken, the others stab the tongue before it can escape, and Percy marches up to Anders and blows his fucking brains out, knocking another name off of his list. As he goes to his sister, he apologizes for leaving her behind, and to be honest, she doesn't seem all that thrilled he did that, but she is glad to see him and is helping, and says she's helping the Resistance by feeding them information. The fighting finished, the group loots the house, only to find a star chart of the solstice that's coming up in 5 days. They're unsure of what it means, but know it must be important to whatever the Briarwoods plan is, so they take it and use it as hope to use it against them. Meanwhile, Pike is struggling to, you know, reason with her god, but the Everlight tells her, hey, you are lying to yourself. Your connection isn't broken because of someone else, but because you did it to yourself by doubting your path. The Everlight says Pike has a choice in front of her, continuing to be with her friends in Vox Machina or return to the temple to serve her faith, but whatever she chooses, she needs to be true to herself. Finally, in Whitestone, the group goes outside, and Caelith uses a spell to clear the cloud cover, endlessly covering the city, to signal that the Briarwood's power is finally breaking. But Lady Briarwood isn't going down without a fight, sacrifices one of her assistants to cast a spell, bringing forth a zombie horde to take out the Resistance. Scanlan, returning to his friends in victory, tries to score a quickie on his way back, but discovers the two lovers are really zombies feasting on a meal. He rushes to his friends and warns them that an incoming horde of zombies is there, and as the episode ends, we see the streets are filled with the undead. And that's where we will pick up next time to finish off Vox Machina.
Ah, yes. Thank you for the recap, Rob. As always.
You got it.
All right. Glad to have you back, man. These goddamn...
There's a lot of names.
These recaps, boy, man. When I was doing the recaps, man.
Oh. I enjoyed the recap. I had a good time.
I think that, well, yeah, like I said, it is different. It's fun, but it's a lot of energy. It's a lot, man. Like, yeah. I don't take what you do for granted at all. I want you to know that. I don't take what you do for granted.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Keenan.
At all.
I know.
So let's get into the question portion of the show as always.
Yes, sir.
First question. After watching this and seeing like the Vox Machina team getting kind of like, I guess, taken over, who do you think is actually the most dangerous on the team? Man, it's like I always feel like Grog might be, but then I felt like, what's her name? Who was the plant girl?
Oh, Caelith.
I feel like if she unleashes, she can be very dangerous.
She has had a couple big moments.
Right.
I think she has come up big in small ways, but she doubts her power for sure.
For sure. I feel like if she gets a chance to be like, all right, I got to go all out to kill somebody, I'm going to fucking do it. I don't think anybody else is going to be stronger than her.
I can absolutely see that, because there was even that moment when they were on the cart and one of those wolves bit Vex.
Yeah.
And she just like turned and freaked out and like roared at the thing, like half transformed into an animal. And the wolf was like basically yiped and put its tail between its legs.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want any problems.
Yeah, man. So who would you have? Who would you have?
Like you said, I feel like the easy answer that you might go for is Grog, because he's, you know, he's big, strong, and like he's definitely like, I think, is, you know, pound for pound, probably the strongest one that they have.
Right.
But to me, and this is, I mean, maybe just me going a little meta here. Like, I think you have to be careful of Vex, the brother.
Because he's a beast too.
He is very sneaky.
Yeah.
Like, he will sneak up on you. He's got lots of tricks up his sleeve. He's even got that knife that he can throw with deadly accuracy, and it just returns right back to him.
Yeah.
Like, he's somebody that won't necessarily beat you down. He'll just wait for your moment of weakness. Mm. He'll wait till you're not looking, and he'll get you in one hit.
Right. I think. He's going to plan shit out. He's going to have a plan to get... He's like, all right, I can't beat Grog head up. I'm not fighting this guy head up. You crazy?
Yeah.
So this is how I'm going to have to beat him. I'm going to trap him, do something here, slice him here, cut him down. So eventually, like, he gets weaker to where I can beat him. I think he... And I haven't seen his sister really go ham for real yet.
She's like... I mean, okay, so Vax is the brother. Vex is the girl. I screwed them up. Their name. I mean, they did that on purpose.
Yeah.
But that being said, she definitely has her moments. Like, there was even when she's, like, kind of having, like, that arrow shoot off with, like, some of the guards, and one of them's just like, hey, could I get a private lesson?
Yeah, yeah.
And she took care of business there. So she's no slouch herself. She's smart. And she's got, especially when she's got those magic weapons, those fire arrows were no joke.
Yeah, that's true. That's
she can get kitted out.
Yeah, you add some accessories to her and do some things, she's going to be an absolute problem.
And, like, technically, one of the things that hasn't really come up in this stretch of episodes, she has that animal companion, that bear.
I was asking, where's the bear at?
They must have left him behind, like, oh, I guess this is too, like, conspicuous to travel with. I don't know where they would have left him that was safe, but if she's, like, a ranger and she's got that animal companion, that's another level of, if she's got somebody that can help her out. Every fight is 2-on-1.
They got to bring the bear back for these last few episodes because I'm like, I feel like that's a waste.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree.
You gave him, what, the first maybe? It was, I think he had a little bit of fun in the first episode, and after that, they didn't really do much. It just kind of like, they sent him to the sideline.
Yeah, they like kept him outside for that Wraith episode, and he just was like, luckily survived.
Yeah.
Luckily, the Wraiths didn't mess with him. But yeah, once they like left the kingdom there, they didn't take the bear with him. But I mean, it fits for me. Who do I think is the most dangerous? I'd probably go with Vax.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it's kind of hard to argue. I feel like, to me, it would be, out of those three, the danger would be either Vax, Grog, or
Caleb.
Caleb. Yeah. I think those three right there.
She's got a high ceiling.
For turn sure. All the way up, it'd be a problem.
Yeah.
All right. If you were going to play a D&D game, which the show is based off of, which of these characters' classes would you play?
So,
I would need a breakdown.
You'll need a breakdown. Yeah. So, Grog is a barbarian, mm-hmm. which means like super strong. They have rage powers, so mm-hmm. they can essentially like Hulk out, and get even stronger, and like ignore damage and stuff, and like charge through shit. Mm-hmm. You've got Vex, or I'm sorry, I'll go with Vax. Vax is a rogue, meaning he can get sneak attack damage, which is partly why I think, like, okay, he could be pretty deadly, meaning, mm-hmm. like, he can basically, if he gets you by surprise, he's doing extra damage on top of what he normally would do.
Gotcha.
He's essentially, like, can sneak up behind you and slit your throat before you know that he's there.
Okay.
His sister Vex is a ranger, also sneaky, but they can have animal companions, do some light magic, really good in, like, forest environments, tracking stuff, like, good in the outdoors. Also with good in the outdoors is Caelith. She's a druid, so she can like change into animals. She's got wild shape. She can do like nature magic. She can do some healing magic. You have Pike, who's the cleric. She's the one that's at her temple.
Yeah.
Those are like holy magic. Like you can really good against undead, which they will be missing Pike, I think, in these upcoming episodes. She would be a huge asset to them. But a lot of healing magic, a lot of stuff that's good against like vampires, that's good against undead stuff. Then who am I missing? We have Scanlan the bard. He's like a lot of support magic. You can use like a lot of stuff to like boost your team members. If you're thinking like video game terms, you can like give a lot of your friendlies like extra damage or extra defense based on like the song spells that you're casting. And then who else are we missing? Percy is who also, I mean, kind of left off the table. I didn't even consider him for most dangerous. I mean, he is definitely like a Kurupika, which I know we'll talk about later. If you're on his list, you need to fucking look out. Everybody else, I don't know. But he's a gunslinger, I believe, which is not a class that I've played before.
Okay.
But, I mean, certainly high damage from long distances. I'll say that much.
Okay. So who would you...
So I played a lot of D&D. It's one of my favorite, like, it's a great pastime. I've played a lot of these types of characters. I'm currently playing a rogue in a game that I'm playing right now. Okay. So that's what Vex does. And, like, he's really good at, like... I feel like I play with a couple people that play tanks, that play like a barbarian or like a fighter, people that like kind of get up in the shit. And I kind of hang back with a crossbow and just like I'm taking people out on like sneaky stuff and like hiding, popping out from behind cover and taking people out with like sneak attack. So I don't necessarily like to get up in the mix. I also like to play holy characters, which is what Pike is. But we're not really seeing a whole lot of what she can do right now.
Yeah.
So I personally, if I had to choose from this party, I would go with Vax, the rogue.
I think I would go with Grog off the first time I
barbarian.
The first time I would play a game, I think I would just want to go and just fuck shit up.
Yeah.
Smashing cats up, just bang. Like, I know this is a lot of pauses here, but like, but just punching through cats, like, you know, just the guy that can just swing and knock out five characters at once.
Oh, they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's just like the first time I play the game, just to get through the game and have fun because I don't want to think too much. And then I would probably want to go around and play the game, probably as with Caelith. Just like you said, it's like you have, you said she has healing. You said she can return into animals too and stuff like that in the games and stuff like that. I think I would probably have fun playing it that way afterwards.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good way to do it, because like even for like a first timer, like somebody that's a bit more like physical damage is a bit easier for a first timer, because you just like, it's just easier. Whereas like Magic, you get a little bit more into the rules heavy stuff, but it can be super rewarding, because you can be like, well, I can, especially with the druid, you can change into like, we see in these episodes, she changes into a squirrel at one point, so she can get into small places, help you break into shit, or she can change into like a fucking bobcat and fuck people up.
Yeah.
So there's some range in the magic that you can do.
Yeah, and that's what I would just have fun doing, is just changing into shit and being like, all right, cool, let's, you know what? I'm gonna swap that. I might go with her first.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That might be kind of fun to do. Kind of be able to switch those small, big characters, stuff like that.
Yeah. Get to heal people too. That's always helpful. Everybody needs a healer.
Yeah. A healer's always great. Pike.
We'll get into Pike later. We'll get into Pike later.
All right, man. What roles do you think the animation squad will play in Vox Machina? Myself. I'll go myself first.
Yeah.
I personally would, for the fun sake of it, it would be Grog. Because to me, Grog, and I guess I think I have a question on here, but I can kind of skip it. But to me, he's the funniest character in my personal opinion. He makes me laugh. Mm-hmm. He's made me laugh the hardest. So I guess I would go from that standpoint. That would be the character that I would probably be, even though that's not necessarily like, I'm not a big person that just knocks out a whole bunch of people. So I'm interested to hear how you would flip it. Of course, I have you as Percy. I think everybody probably have you as Percy. That's just your style with the glasses.
Yeah, I guess so. He does have the glasses.
Like, and I feel like I always feel like you're that type of person that's like, you know, everything's cool. Rob's cool. And then you piss Rob off just like.
It snaps.
I can see you being him being like, yo, revenge to me. I'm going to murder you now. Well, let's talk about this. There's no talking about this.
It's over.
You pushed me to a point. I'm a nice guy. You pushed me to the point. You should have pushed
me. Brought me here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I can see you being Percy.
Here's where it gets.
Scaling. I'm actually gonna go with Brennan on this one.
Okay, I see it.
You see it?
I think honestly, I probably will pick Brennan as Scanlan too.
I feel like Brennan's kind of this guy. He's gonna like, you know, this character is very like women heavy and like, you know, the ladies.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
But he's also fun. He's just like, he's funny, little. He's just little. Brennan's a little guy. So it's like.
He's going to come in here again.
Yeah.
But I mean, deep down too, Scanlan's like a good dude.
He's a good guy. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. He, you know, he came up with that whole, like, let me just go out there and do this myself, to go into that house set on fire. He got a big W too.
He did.
He beat a monster in that
moment.
Soloed him. So I got to respect that.
Absolutely.
Ice.
Who's left?
I'm going to go with Pike.
Really? Wow.
I'm going to go with Pike.
Oh, no.
Because where Ice be at, man? Where's Ice, dog? Where is he?
That's a great question.
Pike ain't been on the last four episodes, bro. She ain't helping the squad. She's been on the episodes, but she ain't helping the squad for shit, man.
Oh, my God.
Where the fuck Ice be at, man? Where are you, dog?
Where's Ice?
So just
funny
for shits and giggles. I made Ice Pike. I know. I mean, she got the hair too, man. She got nice hair. Ice got the best hair out of all of us.
That's
man.
True. It's true. She does have nice hair.
So you know, I think it's just hilarious.
They got the link up on the hair for sure.
Yeah. So who you got?
I agree. Brennan and Scanlan.
Got you.
And I know too, just from like talking with Brennan before we even started watching this, I know he really likes Scanlan.
I already knew he did.
Yeah,
that's his character.
I would say Ice is Percy, because both Percy and Ice, like, we'll get details about his life and we're just like, wait.
Okay. That's fair.
What?
That's fair.
Wait, who are you?
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes, like, Ice will just let something out and it's just like, when did that happen?
Yeah.
Like, there's just been reveals about Ice. Like, there's always another level to what Ice has got going on.
Yeah, it's a mystery.
He's a bit of a mystery, man.
Yeah.
And I can see that. For you, I also would put you with Grog. Not because, like, because Grog's a drinker. I don't think you're a drinker. Like, I know you don't drink.
Yeah.
But, like, he likes to have a good time. Mm. Like, you know, he's a friendly dude. He can turn quick.
Yeah.
I can definitely see you being a Grog. He cares about who he cares about. Mm. I could definitely see you being a Grog. And then for myself, I might put myself more as like a Caliph in that, like, she's going to turn into a therapy session. She's she's got a lot of self-doubt. She's got imposter syndrome.
Okay,
but
yeah.
But you know, deep down, she's got it when people need her and when people rely on her, she usually pulls up.
Yeah.
So I'd put myself as Caliph.
Okay, I can see Caliph. I guess yeah. I can see that. Imposter syndrome is some real shit, man. I think more people than not have imposter syndrome.
Oh yeah,
especially in our industry.
Absolutely. That's what I told myself.
Yeah. All right. So
believe in yourself, people.
Believe
in yourself. Believe.
All right. Next question. Do you feel we are getting enough time with each character to make them all work?
I feel like there's maybe one or two too many characters. And that's not to say that there's anybody particularly as a character that I dislike. But I do feel, and I've seen this, I've definitely played this way around a D&D table too. I feel like the sweet spot for like a D&D group or like any sort of like, even like any show is like four or five. You get like, you got your Ninja Turtles, you got four there. You got like, even with Hunter x Hunter, you got about like four of them because you got Gon, Killua, Kurapika, and
Illyrio. But Illyrio, I feel like actually he, at one point we just kind of,
yeah, they kind of swap him out, like because Kite's in there for a while. You know, you swap people out, but I feel like but with this show in particular, I'm starting to kind of get into the characters and starting to kind of figure out who they are and what their relationships are to each other.
Yeah,
but it has taken kind of a long time to get there.
Sure.
Like I would say, after the first four episodes, I enjoyed it. I gave it a high score, but I didn't feel like I knew the characters all that well.
Right,
and I think it's taken me to now to get there, and that's maybe a little bit too long for me.
Yeah. I feel like we're kind of getting a deeper dive into two characters right now in these 12 episodes, in these I guess 8 episodes, which is Pike and Percy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're getting some from Pike because, you know, even though she wasn't helping out a lot, we're seeing what she's going through. She's having imposter syndrome in a sense, I guess.
Oh, yeah, in a way, for sure.
In a way, or she's self-doubting herself or whatever the case may
definitely
be. So we got a solid amount from her, what she has to learn. But then Percy, I'm guessing this is going to get greenlit for multiple seasons.
Yeah, I don't know if it's been picked up. I can take a look at that.
But this is heavily, there's not enough episodes left to give backstory on any other character. This is essentially Percy's arc.
Yes,
in my opinion. And in all honesty, it's like, yeah, I don't know if we're getting enough time with everybody to make them all work as of right now. I'm guessing they were like confident enough to like, we're going to get picked up, so we're going to get more time to spread this out, because Percy's getting a pretty deep backstory. I'm feeling what they're giving Percy. I'm enjoying it, like, a lot. So
it does look like there is going to be a season two, but we don't necessarily have a release date yet.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
so yeah, I feel like we're not necessarily getting enough time, but I actually swapped this question. I actually meant to put this question right after this. I don't know why.
Okay.
I didn't, but this next question was, whose backstory do you want to see next? Because right now, this is, like I said, this is a Percy heavy backstory. We're getting his whole family life, his sister and shit like that, which is, right now, this show has shown me they can do backstory. They show me they can do character development.
Yeah,
they're showing me we can do some stuff. So who I would want to see, the twins. I would want to see the brother and sister of Vex and Vex, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They're the most interesting to me next.
Yeah, and we got a little hint of it. Like, they told us in that first stretch, like, they were growing up, their village or their city was destroyed by a dragon.
Yeah.
And that's why Vex still, like, can get, like, she gets, like, a spider sense tingle, like, when dragons are around. So we know they have, like, a deep, dark backstory. They don't trust anybody, but we don't know a lot about it.
Yeah, and that's what I want to see. I want to see now. I mean, and they could have did it with these first episodes. They could have honestly made a dragon the main character, and it's like, that's their backstory, and we got to get into that and how they, whatever, but I guess they went this route. Hopefully they come back around to where they got to fight either a crazy dragon that destroyed their hometown, and they got to get through that shit. So there's whose backstory I want to see next, because I feel like they have a lot of meat on the bone for that story. What about you?
I'd like to see Caliph's, just because I think she's got an interesting story where she's like on a journey where she needs to kind of become somewhat of a leader. She's expected to be a leader at some point. That's all we kind of know about her, that she's on this pilgrimage to gain strength and become better at being a druid or a magician or whatever, and then be able to go back to her people and be as a leader. But what I think is interesting is we have seen those flashes of power from her.
For sure.
And even with that, she's still just like, I'm not good enough. Which to me tells me wherever she's from, there's a bunch of people that are fucking dope.
Yeah.
And really good at what they do.
Yeah. She's
So it'd be interesting to see, like, who are they? What are they involved in? She refers, I mean, she looks like she's probably an elf, but, like, she kind of refers to as, like, it sounds like Ashanti or something, but I don't know if that's what it is, what she says her people are called.
Yeah.
But, like, wherever she comes from, there's, like, a whole group of other people that are just, like, on their shit, ready, like, to go. And just, like, I would just like to see, just, like, yeah, what their civilization's like. Are they, especially for the group of people that are living within nature and living at one with nature, would be pretty dope to see.
Yeah. Shit. So I'm going to just skip this question and go back to this question.
Sure, sure, sure.
So, next question is yours again. Does this show have the strongest fuck them kids energy out of all the shows that we watched?
So after this, like, I had to think about this because my first reaction, this show has been brutal to kids.
Yeah,
like, there have been a couple times where, like, in that first stretch, like, they introduced a couple kids. Not only did they kill both of them off.
Yeah.
One of them died in the character's, like, arms. Like, yeah. As the magic spells weren't working.
Yeah.
And then in this one, they had that moment where the kid was just like, oh, did we win a prize? And they were like, you sure did. And the next time we see her, she's hanging from a tree.
Fucking tree. Yes, man.
It's brutal to kids. That being said, I don't know that it can claim the number one spot. I think it's top three. And I'll say this, of the ones that we've watched, I think it's definitely top three. I think of the ones that I've watched, Iron-Blooded Orphans might be the top.
Oh, yeah.
Iron-Blooded Orphans was absolutely, that show was about child soldiers and was absolutely brutal.
Yeah.
And gut-wrenching.
And it was sad.
I tell people, if you really, like, it's a good show, but if you are ready for heartbreak and you want to just feel really, like, deep down bad, Iron-Blooded Orphans.
Season 2 is going to fuck you.
It's going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
It's really good. I like those characters.
It was.
And that's why seeing them go, especially because they're kids, it feels bad when they go. But I know you guys watched another show without me that might also be in consideration.
What was it?
What's that show? Is it?
Promise Neverland.
Yes. I haven't watched that, so I can't claim it on my list, but I thought that might take the top spot.
I wasn't even going to have that, but fuck it. You're right. Jesus Christ. I guess I have to kind of spoil a little bit, right?
I listened to that episode anyway, so I it's fine.
So this show is like pretty much is a bunch of orphan kids or whatever, you know, and kind of like these mothers, they call them mom or mother or whatever, they kind of take care of them. They look like nuns, and at age six or like around age five or six, you get sent off to be with, get adopted. You get a chance to be adopted and get a chance to go out and, you know,
right,
be with a family. And one of the kids, he follows one day, he sees what's happening with the kid that's getting, you know, shipped out to go see a family. And we find out that that's not what's happening.
What's happening, Ken?
What's happening is they're demon food.
Yeah.
Yeah. They feed these kids to, like, fucking monsters when they hit a certain age. Because I guess they're just ripe. They're at the right age to eat.
Bon
and all these kids are being fucking just eaten. They don't even know. They're happy on this orphanage, running around, having a good-ass time. I can't wait to be 6 years old so I can be adopted. I'm like, okay, motherfucker. And the mothers know this. They're setting it up.
They know what's up. That show, I think, has to take the cake for strongest fuck them kids energy.
Bro, I didn't see season two because it said season two, for some reason, didn't follow the manga and it went a whole different route. People hated season two.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that season one ended, dog, like, can I just say this scene?
Go for it.
There's a scene where one of the kids knew that mother was doing all this shit because she was pregnant with this kid. And I guess for some reason he has like a photographic memory, so he can remember everything even in the womb. So he's kind of like, bitch, I know you out here doing this.
Yeah.
Like, I know you're feeding these kids.
Oh, my God.
I know you. And I remember. How do you know? I remember everything since I was in your womb.
Oh, my God.
That shit. I think it was like the first or second episode where that happened. And I forgot. I think it was me and Brennan. And both of our jaws were like, what the entire fuck is going on with this?
Oh,
this show is terrible. Like, it was great, but it was terrible.
Right, right, right. It makes you feel it.
Man. That's rough. Yeah, so yeah, I want to know what they think in the comment section. But Promise Neverland is fucking up there for sure. It's
yep.
it's up there.
Oof, yeah.
So
kids are not safe in the anime streets.
So next question: Who had the better revenge? Moments, Kurupika or Vox Machina? Not the Vox Machina game, but I guess Percy
specifically.
Yeah, man.
Who do you think? Who you take?
Bro, I was going with Kurupika, but it might be Percy, bro.
Percy is on it.
He's not playing no games.
No.
And I personally have when they're like, Percy, you gotta chill. You gotta No.
Yeah.
I
get it.
You destroyed my family and my fucking town. You all die.
You're going down. This is what it is.
That smoke coming out of his face and his eyes and around him wearing that fucking overhaul mask.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I'm not playing game with you. You're fucking dead. And you see like the name like disappear from the gun. When he shot the fat, because when the fat dude like hammered her the top of her head.
Oh yeah, that was brutal.
I was like, oh god, that was brutal. And so I was happy that he fucking fucking blew his arm off and shit.
He took his time with Stonefell. He took his time with him.
So I might have to go with him, man, because I mean, Kurupika. I don't know who you're gonna pick, but go ahead. So I don't know anything.
I got you.
Yeah,
I would go with Kurupika, but it's close.
Yeah,
and the reason why I go with him is because. This dude also just like he had a plan. The spiders in York New City, right? Is that the name of it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
They were like tearing up the town, and Kurupika is still running circles around these dudes.
Yeah.
Leading them exactly where he wants them to be. Bringing a shovel to the fucking fight.
He brought a shovel! I wanted to say. He brought a fucking shovel to a fight because he was like, I'm going to kill you.
And then I'm
going to
bury you.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And so, that, there was that fight, which was huge moment. And then, even after that, he was successful. We'll still see what happens with Percy.
Yeah.
I think maybe, and obviously there's still some spiders left out there for Kurupika to deal with.
Yep.
But as far as, just dealing with the spiders, he was racking up win after win after win after win, and they didn't have a thing they could do about it.
Yeah.
They didn't even know who he was.
They're like, who is this chain user? Who the fuck is this?
They have no idea.
And then
he
took out their strongest, their physically pound for pound, their strongest person first.
Yep.
And was just, and honestly, destroyed them.
Yeah.
It wasn't too much of a fight for real.
He killed two of them.
Yeah.
Because he also got the other girl with the magic, essentially, where he got her with the rule, if you say this thing to them, you're going to die.
Yeah.
She did.
Yep.
But then he took away, what was it, Krollo's powers or whatever.
Yeah.
So, and then he effectively neutered their leader.
Yeah.
Cut the head off the snake and then killed two of their other members. One of them, their strongest fighter. Dude was just a monster.
Yeah, I don't think they want smoke with him. And, no. I guess they said, Have they been writing chapters already? I think they've been writing chapters.
I know he's developing the chapters, and that was one of the biggest bummers for me. I know you guys love the Ant-Arc. Because Kurupika was my favorite character on the show, not having him after the York New City arc
really hurt
the show for me.
I get that. I get that, because the Ant-Arc was fire, but I honestly was mad. I was mad, too. You don't have this guy here.
Yeah.
And I guess technically he sacrificed himself to only be able to go after
him. Yeah, so his Nen only works, he can, I think, still fight people, but his chains really only are super effective against the spiders.
Right.
So if it's not a mission with the spiders, he's kind of nah, it's not really my thing.
I hope that they find some type of loophole, because they have to bring him back unless they're going to bring this, the squad back to fight the spiders.
Yeah,
because
they definitely, he's still out there. He's still working on stuff. And he might even, at this point, be working for, the mafia or something. Because when they get back and they're kind of having the election for the next leader or whatever, they call him up and, you just see him, basically staring. You see Kurupika, looking at the phone, not taking the call, dressed up in a suit, just, clearly off on some other mission.
Yeah.
So he's out there still trying to work shit out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't knock either pick. I think once you bring a shovel, you got my vote.
Yeah,
I'm picking Percy right now, because Percy's literally blowing limbs off. He blew old dude's jaw off and tongue off out of his fucking
mouth.
That
was wild. That was
and
wild.
He didn't play no games with him. And I like how, I do like how he's going from he's having a funny moment when he fell out of the window and he was like, oh, I fell out the window, sorry, whatever. But then he's really about his business, at least for this mission he is.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm guessing maybe on the other missions when it's not really about him, he'll probably have some more comedic timing in there. But, he's been locked the fuck in and getting it done.
Yeah.
He got nothing.
He hasn't come up much in our discussions, but I do like Percy. I do like Percy as a character, and I think he's up there.
Yeah.
So, top half,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So I mean, what time are we at right now? Where are we at?
Probably about an hour, about maybe an hour and a half. I don't know. What are we thinking?
I guess we can.
An hour. Okay. Okay. We can. I mean, we got a few more to push through. We can do that.
All right. We can do it. Funniest character, man. What do we have? Funniest character. I mean, Grog makes me, like I said earlier, Grog makes me laugh a lot. I feel like, I know there's another honorable mention for sure. I won't say it because that might be yours. But Grog is just so fun. He's fucking people up, but he's just having a good ass time. Like, you guys just shooting with these arrows? Oh, like he's having a good ass time. You know what I'm saying? He's made me laugh out loud the hardest.
Yeah.
Who do you have?
I'll probably pick Scanlan.
I can
definitely see Grog being the choice. I feel like Scanlan and maybe Vax are maybe like probably up there in that conversation as well. Nobody else is really funny.
Right.
But Scanlan, like, he comes with the jokes, especially because like he feels like he's got to compensate for a lot. You know, he's got a lot of the laugh lines. But especially because I really like that moment of he's just like, guys, like, trust me, I got this.
Yeah.
Let me do the plan. Then he's just like, fucking, why did I say this? Like, why do I don't have this? Like, what the fuck was I talking about?
Yeah.
And he's off on his own, like, second guessing himself. I thought that was really funny.
And then he's always kind of like talking and starting to sing here and there. He's like, I'm on the wall like a cat. Ah! Then he falls off the wall. Yeah. And shit like that. Yeah.
The songs are funny.
Yeah. He's having a good time.
I'm liking Scanlan.
Yeah. And then he was like, remember when he told a story about the lady? He was like, yeah, you know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're like, that doesn't sound like a bad story. She's just having sex. He's like, no. She had.
Just you wait.
Just you wait. She had two hands. And her head pops out. I was like, oh, shit.
Yep.
Yeah, so he has a good time on the show. I feel like he's probably actually written more as a comedic relief for the whole show. Mm-hmm. I think Grog, he's just funny because he also just sounds dumb.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's the big kind of dumb guy.
Yeah, he's got the why is the rum always gone sort of thing going on.
Yeah. But yeah, I either choice, I think you go wrong with
it. Yeah, Grog's cool.
They're both funny. So that this is the last question. How much torture do you think you can handle before you break? Now, there was a part of this episode where one of their homeboys, not, I guess, in their actual crew, but he was in that dungeon and, you know, they was fucking him up. They was whipping his ass.
They were kicking
And then they
his
brought
ass.
Old boy in. The big dude in, and he fucking just tore his ear off.
It was bad
like,
times.
Like, just ripped his ear off his skull.
Bad times.
And he still didn't give shit up. He still kept his mouth shut. How much torture do you think you can handle? Let me tell you something. I'm out of there.
Oh, yeah.
That first shot to the stomach, that first punch to the stomach, depending on what way I have to give up. Call me first 48. You give me a good cheeseburger. Hey, man. Rob. Rob is out here fucking shit up, man. He's got a secret.
They're taking me past the interrogation room. I see Keenan with the burger and the Sprite.
Hey, man. I'm saying. Rob over there, man. He's a mastermind, too. Genius. Fucking photographic memory, man. You got to watch out for this guy.
Lock him up.
Man, yeah. I honestly don't know how much I will really be able to take. Yeah. I mean, I'm talking shit, but like, if it's a real mission where I know I had to protect us, I think I'd rather like try to get myself killed faster if that was the case.
Oh yeah,
just be like, nah, you're not gonna torture me. I'm gonna try to. Can I break my own neck? Can you break your own neck? Can you do that?
Right.
Oh, I don't know God. If you can, but yeah.
I hear you.
What about you?
Yeah, I would not stand up to torture very well. I'd want to. Tell you, one time I tried to open up a San Pellegrino box, and that cardboard got right in between the fingernail. And the nail and the thumb. And I was, no, that was the worst. It was awful. Especially because they get so creative. As soon as you start taking things off.
Oh, man. Pulling out teeth, taking out nails. Let me tell you something. I don't do well underwater. I cannot swim. I know I fit the stereotype. Fuck y'all. But let me tell you something. Once they start waterboarding me, it's a fucking wrap.
Oh,
I'm out of here, bro.
Oh, my God.
It's
not good.
Some Guantanamo Bay shit. They just sitting there putting. I think I saw something when they waterboarded a dude when they put like a wet rag over his face.
Yep.
And it just kept pouring water. I was just like, all right, man, tap out, fucking Brennan.
Oh my God,
Brennan did it, bro.
Yeah, on the other side of that, like I was wearing a KN95 mask on one of the planes on the way back to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at Andre. I'm like, I'm taking this fucking thing off. I can't breathe. I'm not going to make a 4-hour flight with this thing on. You put a wet rag over my mouth in 5 minutes.
Oh, man. I can't fly with it for long, too. I know we have it on for a second, and then I know, I mean, I'll put it down back on my beard or something like that. And then, you know, if, like, I try my best if somebody's, like, sitting in the middle and I'm on the edge somewhere, I try to keep it on as long as I can. But, like, I also don't fly with the heavy duty.
Ours were the
nurse one.
Yeah. I prefer, though. That's my favorite one because, well, it's not necessarily the best one, but it's the easiest to breathe.
It's the easiest to breathe.
100%.
So that is the end of the question portion of the show, man. Let's give our likes and dislikes and what we're going to, you know, how we feel about showing our scores overall. I'll go first.
Yeah, go first.
Man, episodes 5 through 8. I enjoyed these, man. I didn't, they went by fast for me. Like, normally shows kind of go by slow. 4 episodes went by pretty quickly. I laughed. I had a good time. It was action heavy. I know, like, Ice's gripe was like, yo, these guys seem like losers. All 4 episodes, they didn't take an L in this whole stretch right here. They literally won every single battle that they went through. And some of the action scenes were fun. They're not like these great action scenes, but they're doing their job. Mm-hmm. They're doing their job. They're getting the W. And I would have to highlight Percy. Percy is not fucking around on this show.
No.
And I love it. I love how he's serious business. He's not joking. When it's time for him to kill who he has to kill, there's not one joke he's making at all. He's literally, you see him turn dark. You see that smoke go behind him. I don't know what that gun and that smoke really means yet, but let me tell you something. He's destroyed both of those opponents so far, and he lit them up bad.
Bad.
Yeah. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
To me, honestly, he's honestly probably been the highlight of this stretch. Mm-hmm. Nick Grog is fun too, but like, and Vex and Vox, I don't know which one, the twins.
I got you.
they're great also. I love watching them on screen. They're both great. But yeah, Percy for these 4 have been like, yo, I'm locked in on him right now. His story is great. What he's doing is great. I'm going to give these stretch of episodes a 7,500.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
How about you?
Yeah. I too really enjoyed this. I enjoyed the first stretch. I know I wasn't here for the first 4 episodes. I think I gave it an 8,000. But I just really liked it. I think especially because we've watched some shows that I wanted to be like this that weren't quite there.
Like what?
Looking at Goblin Slayer. Looking at Goblin Slayer very specifically. Shield Hero to a lesser extent. Because I like Shield Hero. I actually liked a bit more, I think, than you guys did.
It was just rough, man. That
there's,
whole...
There's some stuff in there that I could absolutely lose from Shield Hero.
Yeah.
But I like the cast overall. And here's the thing. I have to give this stretch a little bit of a lower score. I think last time I gave it like an 8,000. Mm. I'm going to give this a 7,800. And that's only because this Pike shit is killing me. Like, which is crazy because usually that kind of stuff I really gravitate to in a story. She's on like some sort of like, almost like a Jedi-like journey. She's off on her own. She's trying to connect to her faith. I think she's going to come back with the level up. But what the main party was able to do in these 4 episodes, and every time we checked in with her, it felt like the same shit was happening every time.
Yeah, that's true.
It seemed like every time we were checking back in with Pike, the same shit was happening. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding her journey through that to be frustrating as well. Like, even like what I read from what her god was saying was just like, you can still have powers and chill with your friends. Just like, be true to yourself and stop doubting.
Yeah.
And she even now still seems to be like, oh, well, I need to choose between my powers and my friends. And I don't think that's what she's saying at all.
I don't think she's saying it all either.
And so I was really frustrated with that storyline. And every time we were back there, I felt like it was really taking the air out of the episode. Mm. So that's kind of my dislikes, which is a shame because I usually really like those types of characters. But I really like what the main party's up to. The more time we spend with them, I do like them. Grog is great. The twins are great. Scanlan's fun. And I really like Caelith. Yeah. And even Percy. Like, yeah, I love the revenge character. Like, he's definitely got like an Arya Stark sort of feel to him where he's got his revenge list. And he's just, let me strike these names off my list. I got to do what I got to do to these people that hurt me. Mm. And that's super cool. And I wouldn't be shocked if there's something still going on with his sister. I wouldn't be shocked as maybe she's
something's off.
Something still is going on there a little bit. Mm. And I think there's maybe at least a twist or two still left to be seen with that. Mm. So I'm really into this. I'm enjoying it. It's a strong 7,800 from me. I wish I could give it higher. I wish Pike would bring more to the table, but she's dragging it down a little bit. So that's where I'm at.
Okay, yeah, you're really feeling the show, and I don't know.
Enjoying it quite a bit.
Yeah, I have no issues with it. I forgot what I gave it last week.
I think you guys were in the sevens. Well, you were.
Yeah, he wasn't.
Ice was at like a 4,500.
Yeah, he's bugging, but I mean that's.
I thought that was crazy.
Respect for him, but
you like what you like. Hey, you don't like it, you don't like it. I'm not gonna try to force you, but
yeah,
for me this is like right at my alley.
Yeah, so I mean, I do we get a chance to ask you one of the questions? I wanted to ask you. I guess how would you rate the Goblin Slayer crew, this crew, and
that's right,
and the Shield Hero crew.
Shield Hero, just like who's the best fighters?
Yeah,
which I prefer.
Who would you prefer, crew pound for pound, crew wise?
As far as crew, I prefer it's this crew first, Shield Hero crew after that, and then Goblin Slayer,
of course,
in the basement.
No problem.
And then pound for pound, it's Shield Hero number one. I think those guys have been just going fucking ballistic on some of their monsters.
Yeah.
And they fight some just crazy high level stuff.
They do.
And I think Ice was saying, like, oh, they haven't fought a dragon. They fought like an undead, like, bone dragon or something like that and beat it.
Yeah.
With three people, let alone a whole fucking party of like seven or eight and a plus a bear.
Yeah.
So I think just you have to go pound for pound. Shield Hero's the top tier.
Yeah.
Especially with like Philo.
Yeah, that's right.
Big Bird Lady is not messing around.
At all.
This group, I would say Vox Machina is pound for pound, and Goblin Slayer is getting destroyed by anybody that's not a goblin. I mean, granted they got the troll or whatever one time. I still don't. I think they go up against that dragon that Vox Machina faced in episode two. They're getting packed up.
They're all dead.
They're getting packed up.
They're all fucking dead, yeah. Bro. There's no way. There's no way they're surviving.
Yeah, I'm not giving Goblin Slayer a damn thing. Not a thing.
I agree with you. All right, man. Yeah, so Brennan produces on every single thing on Bitch. A matter of fact, it's actually Bitch Ass Brennan produces on everything.
There you go.
So make sure you follow him on Bitch Ass Produces on everything. And then Ice Dap Mahoen on every single thing.
There you go.
Ice Dap McGowan on all his stuff, too. Rob, who you got?
I got an illustrator here from Manila. This is Squeegool on Instagram, Squeegool. James, Claridades, I'm so sorry I messed up your name, but they're pretty cool artists. They got some cool stuff. Looks like they got some Pokemon art on there. They got some Storm on there. I can't tell if this, I think Dark Phoenix, or maybe that's Hope Summers, but they got some Marvel art. They got some anime art, really cool, like illustration style, really fun. Kind of reminds me a little bit of, the art style from the show that we're currently watching, actually, a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But, check them out on Instagram. That is at Squeegool on Instagram.
All right, and one thing you guys can never forget is we're the greatest!
There you go.
Fucking anime podcast in the entire world.
That's Rice, whoever he is.
Keenan Baker on every single thing. Make sure y'all check it out, man. We got some fun things coming for y'all. So, yeah. Yeah, man. Like I said, join that Patreon, patreon.com/animation. We're almost there for Rob's haircut. We're at 97. Please, we just need three of y'all, man. Three y'all gotten this far. Y'all doing great for us so far. So
I believe I think this is the month.
I think this is the month also.
I think this is it.
So 97 right now. We just need three of you guys, and we're gonna stream it. Maybe possibly try to stream it live. Stream it live.
You could definitely do stories on you can do like story stuff on Patreon.
You can?
Yeah, I was doing it at Anime Expo.
Nice. Okay, so that's perfect. We're going to be able to do some couple of fun things with this. So make sure three more of you guys on that Patreon, on patreon.com/animation. And we're tuning in. I forgot my own damn saying. So thank you for tuning in to another episode of Animation.
There we go.
We out.